Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the March 2026 edition of Fox Chatter. This month, Colonel Rim Barger will join us to give us more details on a very specific staff exercise, and Lieutenant Colonel Johnny Lynn Regis will give you some background on our individual medical readiness program. We'll also jump into some upcoming events with Chief Kenny Monroe from the 4th Support Squadron and Senior Master Sergeant Justin Caton from Recruiting, who will address Family Day and the Top Gun Drill Meet, respectively. Before we jump into this month's drill overview, I want to start by thanking Colonel Jim Roth for stepping in and covering last month's edition. He did a great job filling in quickly after a short government shutdown to get it recorded before drill and then heading off to D.C. for the State of the State. The State of the State's an opportunity for our wing and state leadership to visit the National Guard Bureau and give them an update on what our unit has been doing. They then provide us with feedback on what they see from us at their staff level. And finally, we have the opportunity to visit in small groups with specific members of the staff to work specific issues that affect you as Swamp Fox. We received positive feedback on our performance and began to talk more about our strategic priorities, which are getting us new fighter jets and advocating for the unique capabilities that McIntyre brings to the nation as a standalone guard base that does not share facilities with an international airport. Following the NGB visit, a few of us took the message to Capitol Hill, where we met with every member of the South Carolina congressional delegation. We received very positive feedback from those meetings as well. The Air Force is about to begin a new round of basing decisions for the F-35, and we'll be working very hard to ensure that we can get the highest scores possible in the selection process. New aircraft to replace our aging F-16s will ensure we are relevant in tomorrow's fight, increase our recruiting potential, and keep our legacy of flying fighter aircraft continuing farther into the future. So as we get into this month's drill, look at your unit, see where we can make improvements that would make us more competitive in the upcoming selection process. And if you have any recommendations or ideas for how to improve, please pass them up your chain. March drill is going to be a busy super drill event, which will run from Thursday, March 8th through Sunday, March the 11th. Based on our annual training program, this super drill was designed to be a wing level exercise where we would prepare to operate in a simulated, austere, deployed environment. We were planning to execute agile combat employment concepts by splitting our forces across a few local airfields while our command team operated a wing operations center to facilitate the mission from a central location. The command team will be led by Colonel Ryan Hurt, wing commander of the 143rd Airlift Wing from Rhode Island, which are our partners in the upcoming 27.2 Air Expeditionary Wing rotation. The WAC would be responsible for coordinating real-world assets as personnel and equipment were moved between forward operating locations, using Rhode Island's C-130s to support our F-16 missions. Airmen across the wing would be executing tactical-level training within their AFSCs, but also learning and practicing additional capabilities as mission-capable airmen. An observation team from Air Combat Command and the National Guard Bureau were scheduled to evaluate the performance of the command team as a required step to ensure certification before the 27.2 deployment. Current events across the world and within our wing have required us to make an abrupt shift in our plan. So we'll now separate the exercise into two main efforts across this drill, and there will be two distinct operations. The squadrons within the wing will focus on squadron level and individual training events. Airmen should focus on ensuring individual readiness by accomplishing any TFAT training and IMR requirements that are due. Squadron commanders will develop their own specific training events while also accomplishing ready airmen training events. This means that each squadron and airman's drill experience may look different from others, but everyone should be focused on becoming as mission ready as possible and on individual and squadron level readiness. The second effort will be called the Staff X. So this will be a tabletop style exercise that will serve as a required certification event for the 27.2 command leadership team. To dive a little deeper into this event, let's welcome Colonel Rimbarger. All right, Hyde, so welcome. Tell us about the Staff X.
The Staff X will be Tuesday afternoon for a handful of folks, and then the main Staff X will be all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. Rhode Island's bringing about 14 total folks down. We've got folks playing on the blue side for the Staff X. 99% of those folks are actual deployers for the 27.2 AEW. And then NGB is sending down about 12 TAC mentors, basically some folks from the NGB staff and some folks that have done this before with either the XAB or the DCWs recently to bring down their lessons to kind of help guide us through this Staff X. So for the schedule, before I get into more specifics of like what we're actually doing, Tuesday afternoon, starting at about 1300, we'll all meet in the Fighter Wing Auditorium. And that will be basically the Rhode Island folks and then our Air Staff Directorates. I'll send out an email with exactly who needs to be where. And then the mentors. And we'll go over some briefings and we'll have all of the directorate. And then that'll just be Tuesday afternoon. The Rhode Island folks are bringing down their aircraft. The C-130 should be landing sometime mid-morning. And then we'll do kind of a working lunch into the afternoon on Tuesday to kind of prep us to get ready for the actual staff ex on Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, we'll kick it off again in the auditorium with a classified intelligence brief, and that'll be for all staff ex players. And then we'll split off into our kind of our four working areas for the event. We'll have the walk in the EOC over in the 245th building and command post as the main heartbeat of the staff ex. And then we'll have two basically other locations. The Combat Air Base Squadron, the CAVs, will be working out of the comm classroom. And then the DCC will be set up in the LRS building in the classified working space of the DCC. So those will be kind of the four areas. And then we'll kind of split off and go to those two areas. And that's basically the impact to the rest of the base. So Wednesday, we'll do the classified intelligence brief. We'll break up and then we'll get into some scenarios. It'll be basically 3-4 hour scenarios over the next 2 days. So Wednesday morning will be scenario one. We'll break for lunch for an hour. We'll do scenario two in the afternoon. And then on Thursday, we'll start again at 8 o'clock. Those four working areas, we'll do another scenario for about 4 hours. We'll break for lunch. Thursday afternoon will be the debrief, lessons learned. We'll put it all together, have the mentors give us what they saw from what the performance was of the AEW staff. And then Rhode Island folks are going to depart on Thursday afternoon on their C-130 back to Rhode Island to make sure they can make their drill for the weekend. A lot of these folks went to the AEW C-2 course in Savannah a few weeks ago. It wasn't location specific and it was just kind of generic lessons that they were learning. This is a 200 level event, and the purpose of this event is to now take our real world location, use some of their emergency management plans, stuff they already have on the shelf, the actual theater of operations that we'll be in, and then to take those lessons from the AEW C2 course, take some practical scenarios with the location, and then build upon the relationships that we have with the Rhode Island folks. We'll add about a few more folks that didn't get to go to the C2 course into that. All the stuff at the AEW C2 course was everybody was in the same room. Communication was easy. Now we're going to split it up and put us in different locations and try to figure out how we communicate, work through a generic kind of pace plan, and then have all the directorates kind of run through some of those scenarios. White Force will be giving injects to the folks to drive the scenario. The mentors will be steering it from a real world perspective. It should be, again, like you said, a tabletop type exercise. It shouldn't impact the rest of the base. There shouldn't be any giant voice or any of that kind of stuff going on. It should all either be over the phone or on a chat surfer of something that we'll be working out this week. So that's basically it for the Staff X. Again, if you've got folks that are deploying for 27.2 and your name's not on the list and you think it would be good for that person to be in the room, then I think we've got some space to make that happen.
Yeah, and this is just another block in the building blocks for getting them certified, right? So they've already done one previous event. They'll do this event, and then they have some other things that are scheduled later on in the year that'll get them closer to becoming certified and ready to deploy.
That's correct. Again, this is not a pass-fail type thing where they're going to be like, oh, you're decertified. This is a learning environment. We'll get out of the week, and then we'll go on to the 300 level event, which will be at Century North in Alpena, where we'll take these same folks, we'll add on the rest of the Combat Air Base Squadron and try to take almost everybody that's going on the AEW 27.2 up to Alpena and then actually start flying some airplanes and involving the entire base in a big 300 level exercise event that will be the culminating thing. So again, this is just the stepping stone kind of building block approach to that event.
All right, Hi, thanks for the insight into the Staff X. I appreciate everything you've done with the wing staff to help set us up for all these events. Also want to give a huge shout out to Mr. Rob Wright for helping set this stuff up. And also to Colonel Blevins and the entire team that planned a 90% solution to our original plan for our larger scale full exercise. This was a ton of coordination between multiple agencies, and to see it not get executed is a little disappointing. It was going to be an awesome exercise that allowed our airmen to focus on tactical execution and highlight their capabilities in working through tactical problems. However, we were presented with a new challenge, and I'm extremely proud of how everyone stepped up to make that successful as well. Another critical issue that we have talked about a lot recently is IMR. So we keep talking about it because of the importance of it. We need healthy airmen that are available to deploy and perform the mission. If we wait until the last minute to determine if you're healthy and you become undeployable, then we either have a shortfall for that position or we have to throw another airman into that who was not planning on deploying. Neither of those outcomes are desirable. So to give us more insight to the IMR program, welcome Lieutenant Colonel Johnny Lynn Regis from the Medical Group.
Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone. I am Lieutenant Colonel Johnny Lynn Regis from the Medical Group. I am the Senior Administrator. And I want to talk about IMR and why IMR is important. Well, first of all, IMR stands for Individual Medical Readiness. An easier way to remember what IMR is, it comes down to it's my responsibility. Why IMR? To me, IMR is very important because it has to do a lot with your health. And in today's space where we can be called upon anytime, we want to make sure that self is always ready. Self as in medically and dental ready. As a young airman, I really didn't understand what IMR is other than my dental, my HIV, and a profile if I was to get hurt. So I want to share some knowledge and some good takeaways with our Swamp Foxes. There's six components that you can track under your IMR. That is your dental, which is due every year with your civilian provider. It is your HIV lab, which is due every 2 years. And then it's your annual PHAQ and your mental health assessment. And then if you have any profiles because you are hurt or you cannot do your job. And then if you have glasses, it's your prescriptions for your eye inserts. And then lastly, it's your immunizations. From the surface, right, this all looks easy. But I think the Air Force and the DoD did a good job with identifying these six components because while it's at the surface level, it's a start to where it can indicate bigger issues. And so I know the biggest challenge is always that annual dental exam with your civilian dental, because a lot of people don't like to go to the dentist. I don't like going to the dentist, but you guys have to go and see your dentist. And you're going to say, well, Colonel Regis, why? The bottom line is when we go overseas, medical and dental is very restricted in their capabilities and abilities, right? So you don't want to go overseas and then you have underlying dental issues that's going to put you in pain, excruciating pain for 4 to 5 days because we just don't have that capability downrange. Ultimately, you will be sent home. You will be sent home because you can't do your job down there. And so that's why you want to stay on top of your annual dental exams. It's those providers who we rely on and making sure you are healthy, and then your annual PHA. And your PHA is an opportunity for you to disclose to the medical people that within a year, you've may had some injuries or illnesses that need resolution, and then your mental health assessment, right? Like that's becoming a big thing with today's world and life's competing issues. So it's an opportunity for all of you to stay ready with your health, because what matters is, are you healthy enough to go downrange? And from a medical perspective, what matters to us is, can we take care of you?
Thank you, Johnny Lynn. Next, we have Senior Master Sergeant Justin Caton to give us some information on the upcoming Top Gun drill meet.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me again. The Top Gun drill meet will be located back at the flight line side this year. Last year, it was at the JAFRIC. We were lucky enough to have it up there, but we will be back at our normal location this year. Currently, we have 10 schools participating in the event. This is a day for the school and the students to show their precision, their discipline, teamwork, leadership, and action. A junior ROTC drill meet is a competitive event where students, cadets demonstrate military-style drill skills. It's not just marching. It's not just spinning a gun. It's showing teamwork, discipline, in action. We're looking for another 10 to 20 volunteers to come out and help make this event successful. Like in the past, this year we will have food trucks again. We will have the opening ceremonies starting at 08, carrying through the day with lunch happening around 11 o'clock. Generally, we're out of the event around 2 o'clock with cleanup and wrap up for the day. One of the big things that the students look forward to every year is the knockout drill competition. We're looking for somebody who has a strong command voice, who is clear, loud, confident, and sharp in their command presence. If you think you have the voice for this, please contact me via email. You can look me up on the global if you need to find that, or you can call me at 803-647-8850. Again, we're looking for volunteers, judges, or if you would like to come out and just support this event, you're more than welcome to do that as well. This is a free event. Thank you again, sir, for having me on to talk about this event. We look forward to seeing everybody. If you have any questions, again, contact me at 803-647-8850. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. Looking forward to the drill meet. It's always a great opportunity to get some young cadets out and show them what the Guard's like. And next we have Chief Master Sergeant Kenny Monroe from the Force Support Squadron to give us a quick update on Family Day.
Hello, Swamp Fox family. This is Chief Monroe. Just wanted to bring some information to you concerning our Swamp Fox Family Day for 2026. It will be held on Saturday, May the 2nd, and the time frame will be from 1200 to 1500 in the afternoon. I'm looking forward to having your families come out and bring your kids out. There's going to be some bouncy houses and some things out there and plenty of activity for folks to do. This year it's going to be held over in the dining facility parking lot. And the food that we have will be served actually in the DFAC, which will make it easier in case we have weather set in. The point of contact for this year's Family Day is going to be Lieutenant John Pyle. He's over in Logistics Readiness Squadron. So if you have any questions at all, feel free to shoot him an email and reach out to him, and he'll be glad to help you out. And we are looking forward to having all you guys come out and celebrating this day with us.
Thanks, Chief. I think we're all looking forward to a good Family Day in May. Next, I want to announce a few outstanding individuals that have been recognized for national-level awards. First, Master Sergeant Kevin DeLong has been awarded the 2025 Outstanding Air Reserve Component Senior NCO for Aircrew Flight Equipment. Also, from the maintenance group, we have two winners of the Air National Guard 2025 Maintenance Manager of the Year. Tech Sergeant Joshua Power and Master Sergeant Adam Fisher were named the NCO and Senior NCO of the Year for this prestigious honor. We've had an amazing record recently of winning national-level awards, which highlights the incredible capabilities of our team. As we close out today's episode, I want to briefly touch on something that may be weighing on many of you. I know current events around the world are on a lot of minds right now. Some of you have deployed to the region being affected. Others may have personal ties that make it feel especially close to home. While we won't speculate or discuss operational details, what we can say with confidence is that our wing remains ready to support our people. Moments like these remind us that readiness isn't just equipment and training, it's people. It's checking up on one another. Your leadership is a call away. Reach out to a peer, connect with a chaplain, family readiness, or behavioral health. Being strong is knowing when to lean on your team. That is going to wrap up this edition of Fox Chatter. A quick reminder that there is no drill in April, so please enjoy your spring breaks. Our next drill will be the 2nd and 3rd of May, with Saturday being Family Day. Thank you to all of our guests, and to all of you for listening and participating in this podcast. I'm proud of each and every Swamp Fox for doing everything they can to maintain our standard of excellence. You truly are the best of the best. Semper Primus.